Welcome to the New York Public Library. My name is Jay Barksdale, and I am a librarian in this wonderful institution. And I also, which is a room just down that hall, set aside for scholars and writers to write using the materials of our collection. And since I promote the room, I can't really promote an abstract, so I promote the scholars using it by coercing them into giving public lectures. And in the spring, I sent around a general notice with the hint that collaborative efforts would be appreciated. Ms. de Guerriere said, let's do a Frankenstein symposium. I said, bully, and here we are. I want to really thank her. She's done an amazing job of pulling the intellectual content and just getting the hotshot speakers of all day long. It's great. And more about them soon. You'll notice that there's a camera in the back and this thing. It's going to be videotaped for our website. And I want to thank the fabulous trio of Brian Hurley, James Murdoch, and Jonathan Blank for doing this. There's Jonathan, and there's James, and Brian is off doing his magic elsewhere. And I also want to thank you all for passing on the news of this symposium to your friends, email, listservs, snail mail, posters on the lampposts, whatever. Now, of course, the Forzheimer has the real beauties of the collection, but in the general stacks where Hoi Polloi and I are allowed, there is quite a bit of Shelley stuff, and I pulled some of it, not all of it, but some of it. It's on the window, and it's criticism, additions, the complete works, some novels, some dramatizations, two whacked-out poems, some two children's books. You can look at them during lunch or, after the symposium. We close this door at 5:30. They're checked out to me, so please don't nick any of them. There's one rather special book today, and it's in the retail shop. It is Susan Wolfson's book. Susan, where are you? There she is. She's our speaker for the afternoon. It's a Longman Cultural Edition. It's quite wonderful. Not only does it have the 1818 edition and the 1831 introduction, but the variants, and it has contemporary reviews, extracts, and passages from notables explaining the work, even from Dr. Spock. It has Polidori's Vampire and Byron's Fragment. Those two were written at the same summer via Diodati. And for those of you who don't know the horrors of Midtown Lunch, there's a page of restaurants on the table. There's an email list you're welcome to sign for future lectures by the scholars. They're pretty widely ranging. Upcoming are New York City Skyscrapers, Libya and International Politics, Asian American Women Comics, the Newtown Movement, Women and Drug Trafficking in North America, etc. If you do sign the list, please be legible. Every time there's a few names I can't read, and I feel terrible that you think I've gone back on my word. Now, for you English romantic monomaniacs, in March, there's going to be an exhibit from the Forzheimer and the Bodleian here on Percy Shelley. And I've, again, coerced at least three of the Wertheim's scholars to speak about them, Grief and Gratitude in Mary Shelley's Last Man, Romantic Fandom, and Mary Robinson's Dialogues with Godwin and Wollstonecraft. There's a very rough flyer of that information over there. There's also on in town a one-woman show of Mary Shelley until August 27th. I heard about it just yesterday. I know nothing about it, can't endorse it, but we're all in the world of letters together, so the information's there if you want it. And the last of the papers is an evaluation of the day, what you liked about it, what we could do better, what more you'd like to see, and how you heard about it. That last is especially dear to me. As the advertising man says, we know 50% of our advertising works. We just don't know which 50%. In 3 days, this Sunday, there's the birthday of another literary notable. He'll be 90. He, too, is sentient and reasoning, and but much less conflicted than our creature. And that's Winnie the Pooh. He's downstairs in the children's room, room 84, so he and Kanga and a few others, so say hi. I'm almost through. I know all of you are Quorum, but now is the time to turn off your cell phones and other such instruments of Satan. Until you break for lunch, I'm soon going to close those two doors, open that little door on the side, and stand outside to try to keep the tourists, bless their heart, at bay. So I won't actually be hearing this. So please come quietly, come and go through that door. The bathrooms, men's is straight above us on the third floor. Women's is also on the third floor, but alas, at the other end of the corridor. Any logistical questions I failed to answer? Okay. I'm very pleased to introduce this morning's speakers, after which I'll turn it over to Stephanie. Elizabeth Campbell Denninger is the curator of the Carl H. Pforzheimer collection of Shelley and his circle. She received her PhD from NYU and her Master of Science from the Palmer School at C.W. Post of Long Island University. Charles Kuykendall Carter is the bibliographer of the Pforzheimer. He received his MFA in poetry from NYU and his Library Science Master's from, again, the Palmer School. Paul Flaig is a PhD candidate in comparative literature at Cornell. He is currently completing a dissertation entitled Weimar Slapstick, American Eccentrics, German Grotesques, which examines the influence, effect, and reappropriation of American slapstick film within visual, intellectual, and political cultures of Weimar Germany. After receiving a Fulbright Fellowship, he has recently completed a year of research on this topic in Berlin. He's published on Bertolt Brecht, the Marx Brothers, and psychoanalysis. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Stephanie Degruyere.
Good morning. It's perfect weather for Frankenstein. Thank Jay for that. I don't want to take up too much time because we have three talks to already listen to. And I think we all know why we're here today. The title perhaps says it all. Everybody loves the monster. At least we think so. But I do want to give a little background about how this came together, at least for me. As Jay mentioned, I'm a fellow in the Wertheim study down the hall, and the Wertheim study has been an absolutely invaluable resource for me as a scholar studying in New York City. Not only does it give me access to all of these wonderful books on certain days, especially really hot ones, it's a really great air-conditioned study to think in, or at least cool down in. So when Jay asked me, or he approached the scholars in the study to see if we wanted to do any talks, I knew immediately that I wanted to speak on the creature. But I also knew that I couldn't tell the only story about the creature that I wanted to tell. So when I approached Jay and said, yes, I want to do a talk, but I need five other people to give the talk with me, he said yes, immediately. And so did Liz and Charles, who you'll be hearing from this morning, and Paul from Cornell, and Susan Wolfson from Princeton, and Julia Rodas from CUNY. All of them immediately agreed, so I'm really honored and thankful that they were able to do this today. I should say, as you all probably know, that Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and the creature within the novel have been adapted in hundreds of ways and in multiple forms. And I think you'll be seeing many of these ways and forms today, especially this morning. But I think it's worth mentioning that in the novel, the creature is consistently represented as unrepresentable. He is a sight too horrible for human eyes, and no one can look at him without running in terror. So it's interesting that this unrepresentable character has spawned so many cultural images. So today, the six of us are going to explore these images, but we're not going to stop there. We're going to ask a few more questions. What happens to the creature's voice? Why does it disappear in some of the films? Has the cultural legacy of the creature forgotten some things? What's the difference between a creature and a monster? And are there any historical precedents for the creature? I'll end there, and I'll just I just want to say I would really like to thank Jay Barksdale for actually doing all of the work, even though he gave me tremendous thanks. I think he really deserves most of the credit for what you have today. And I'd also like to thank Brian Hurley and James Murdoch, our audiovisual people, for helping put this together. Thank you. Oh, and thank you.